Let's turn in our Bibles now to Zechariah and chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 14 of that chapter. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 1, these are God's words. Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with its bowl on top of it, and its seven lamps on it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on top of it. Also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side." Then I said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.' What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth.' Then I said to him, 'What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left?' And I answered the second time and said to him, 'What are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves?' So he answered me, saying, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth.'" And those are the words of God. The chapter before us comes in the context, you remember the Jews rebuilding the temple after the exile, but they were lacking in faith and hope that they would ever see it rebuilt and also the city of Jerusalem to be flourishing again. But the Lord here shows by His power that He would bring about that rebuilt temple, and the city would flourish again, even despite their enemies and despite what they were believing. And why is that? Because we remember, because it is that Christ is the mediatorial king over all. And He had promised that it would happen. The seven lamps should remind us of Revelation 1. And the seven golden lampstands, which are, we're told there, are the seven churches that proclaim forth the gospel. And you see the worship of God being spoken of here. We could even think of the lampstand in the temple. Here he's speaking about the worship of God. And the kingdom of God is going to expand. And Yahweh promises that to the Jews here. And that's a great thing. The two olive trees in verse 3 are the two anointed ones, that it says, verse 14, who stand before the Lord, which speaks of the offices of the civil magistrate shown by Zerubbabel in this chapter, and then the ministry of the priest, the high priest, who is Joshua. We've seen him as well in the previous chapters. Both of whom, Zerubbabel and Joshua, or the governor, kind of in the place of the king, the governor and the high priest, both who point to Christ, who is the king and high priest forever. And so how are you going to be successful, Jews? That's the question to them here. It will be through Christ alone, who is king and priest forever. Well, how will the temple be rebuilt and the nation be rebuilt after the exile? And to apply further, how will Christ's kingdom be built? Verse 6, it's not by might or by power, but by the Holy Spirit, by my Spirit. The Lord will bring this about, and He will use His people, His instruments. He will use us to grow His kingdom and establish it. Beloved, we'll hear this morning about our frailty and our need for faith to believe that Christ will grow His kingdom and to do so through us. And that's what the Jews needed to hear and learn and believe after the exile. And is no different for us today. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful in Christ, Your Son, who is not only our King and Priest forever, but also our Prophet who speaks to us Your Word. We're thankful that You reveal to us Yourself, and that You reveal to us Your Son. We're thankful for all of the one Godhead, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that You are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And Your being, and Your wisdom, and Your power, and Your holiness, and justice, and goodness, and truth. We're thankful that You are a God who loves us, who even brings us out of the pit, out of death, out of nothingness, and You establish us, You give us life, and You even have created us. Father, we're thankful that You have given many of us, if not all of us, faith in Your Son in the Gospel, which again we'll hear about as we cover still the doctrine of justification this morning, and the covenant of grace, and also the covenant of works, or also called the covenant of life. Father, we ask that You would grow us in our knowledge of these things, that our doctrine, our theology would become stronger, which would produce in us an even greater faith and a greater joy in You, in Christ Jesus. That our knowledge would not grow so that it would be found in us that our faith and life would be stagnant, but that You would grow not only our minds, but our hearts and our wills and our affections and what we actually do in life. Father, we pray that You would help us as a congregation to believe Your promises. That we would be in some ways like Abraham, who hoped against hope. That we would believe the same in many areas of life. Not only the gospel, which we might ask, well, how is it possible for us who are great sinners to be saved? And if not through our works, why would God love us so much to shower us with His grace? Not only hope against hope dealing with the gospel, but with other things that have to do with the Christian life. The promises, based on the promises that You've given. Father, we thank You for the church. We're thankful for Your people. We're thankful for the Lord's Supper that will get to partake in this evening. And we pray that You would use it to strengthen our faith in Your Son and in You. And Father, as we think of that, the prospect of partaking of the Lord's Supper, we think of our sin. As we think of Christ on the cross dying for our sin and satisfying Your justice for us. And yet, Father, we continue in sin. We have broken all Your commandments, all 10 of them, and all of them outside of that. We're thankful that You, though, have, as we've broken, broken the commandment to love only You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we've broken the command to love our neighbor as ourself and the various ways to do that. Father, we're thankful that You are just and faithful to forgive us of all of our sins. And yet, Father, we know that we must repent of them. We do confess them here. We pray that You would turn us from them today and the rest of our lives. We confess that we've broken those sins. We are grieving in our hearts as we have sinned against a holy God, but not just a holy God, a God who loves us enough to send Your Son to die on our behalf. Now, Father, forgive us of these many, many sins in thought, word, and deed. And we ask that You would shower us again with Your grace. Father, there are many who have not been feeling well in body. We pray for Brad Hansen that you would take the issues with his body and heal him completely, if that be your will. And we know it is, in at least the grand scheme of things, that you'll bring him as if he is your child. Don't claim to be God, but as if he is your child, as he professes, we know that you will heal him when you bring him into that eternal home that we look forward to even now, that heavenly country that Abraham looked forward to. Father, we do pray for Larry, as seems not to be feeling well this morning in worship. We pray that you would heal whatever's bothering him. And Father, we pray for Dina, that you would heal her body. Thankful for the new doctor she has. Ask that you would help him to help her, and that you would heal, even through various means. And Father, we pray for Jeannie and her knee, and anyone else who may not be feeling well today. Father, heal our bodies that we may worship you faithfully and with gladness and cheerfulness and zeal, passion, because you deserve all of our faith and all of our life, because you are a great and almighty, powerful God who loves us, your people. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.